Now could we read together tonight in John chapter 3, reading at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In the last verse, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And just a verse in chapter 5, well known verse 24, the words of Jesus: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. May God bless the reading of his word here this evening in public. You know, the first verse we read, John 3:16, I'm sure we're acquaint with that verse, so acquaint. But you know, there's a saying in the world, familiarity breeds contempt. And I hope that never applies to us. When we read John 3:16, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, we used to sing with the boys and girls, 25 words in John 3 and 16. These are the sweetest that ever was seen. 12 about God and 12 about me, Son in the centre, verse 16, John 3. And you know, some of the children's choruses have a lot of truth in them, haven't they? And that's I would suggest it's a wonderful verse, this. You know, before I was saved, it was 26 before I was saved, but before I was saved, I didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. And now I know that it's probably the best known verse in the whole Bible, apart from maybe Psalm 23. But it's certainly the best known verse in the New Testament, in John 3 and 16. I remember in Dundee, in Herman Hall, in the window at Herman Hall, I'd had this verse in a nutshell, and the 12 about God and the 12 about me. And I also remember seeing that in Herman Hall in Dundee, John 3:16. And you know, this God so loved the world, that's not the world we see around us, of course. That's the world of, we've been singing, world of sinners lost. And God loved the world of sinners lost. And so as I suggest here this evening, this is the gospel in a nutshell. If we just had this verse alone, you know, that would be sufficient, wouldn't it be, for our salvation? You know, I was just thinking, we've seen in recent days many disasters in the world. I thought the tsunami, just realised it's nearly 2 years ago now, but the tsunami, when all these people were killed, and different disasters, 9/11, tornadoes and wars and hurricanes, etc. And you know, people would say, where is God? You know, if there's a God, he can't be a God of love. When you think of all these disasters in the world, terrible tragedies. And John Blanchard has written a book, and it's called Where Was God in 9/11? And he wrote a lot of books, John Blanchard, but that's one of the books he wrote, Where Was God in 9/11? But you know, when we read this verse, there is a God. The second verse, word we read, was this, for God. And people doubt God's existence, and also they doubt his love. If it's a God, how can it be a God of love when we see all the disasters in the world? We know there are things we can't explain. I'm sure most of us would admit that. We can't explain all these disasters and terrible tragedies, wars, and just recently in the Middle East and so on. The terrible things, the tragedies that are happening in the world. But you know, we would never doubt God's love when we read a verse like this. And I thought of the shortest word in the verse, the little word so. For God so loved the world. You know, that word didn't need to be there, but that word is there. For God so loved the world, including all of us here this evening, that he gave his only beloved son, his one and only son. And you know, love desires to give, doesn't it? Love gives. And God gave his best, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so I suggest that little word so, how important it is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so this is a wonderful verse, and as I said earlier, a verse that I wasn't acquainted with, probably for at least the first 20 years of my life. I never knew this verse existed in the Bible. But you know, as I say, it's a wonderful verse. And I was thinking of another verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And salvation is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was also thinking of the following verses that we read together. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And you know, reading this passage and the verse in John chapter 5, 24, you read that word, condemned. In fact, in Mark chapter 16, at the very end, as he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. But I've misquoted that, but Mark chapter 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So it's the same word. So I thought we could read on beyond chapter verse 16. And I was thinking this verse 18. I've written down here a key verse, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how simple it is, isn't it? That a child can understand, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Verse 18. You know, in America, there's a place called Death Row. And there are men, maybe women as well, but there are men in Death Row. And some have been in Death Row for years. And these men are condemned. They've been found guilty. And they're condemned. They're condemned to die. And they're in what's been known as the condemned cell. But you know, one thing about these men is this, that they know they're condemned. They're aware of the fact, every day, they're aware of the fact that they're condemned. But there are people in this world, and in our country, in our land, there are people today, they don't realise this verse. They don't realise that they're condemned already. Well, these men in death row, they're facing punishment. They're facing the result of their evil ways. But one thing is this, they know that they're condemned. Oh yes, they might be in that condemned cell for years, but eventually, most of the time, unless they get a pardon for some reason, but most of the time they finish up being executed, appeal after appeal, and yet at the end of the day, they're executed. They're condemned. They're in the condemned cell. And as I say, they've been there perhaps for years, But you know, eventually, the sentence of death will be carried out. And it is carried out from time to time. And it could be there, as I say, for years. But you know, there are men and women in the world today, and the Bible says, they're condemned already. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's what we read in the following verses this evening. And why are they condemned? It's because they've been found guilty. You know, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And therefore, men and women are condemned because they are guilty. In fact, the Bible says that. In Romans chapter 3, it says, the whole world is guilty. The whole world is guilty and condemned already. And at least, as I say, these men in the condemned cell, they know why they're there. They're suffering for their misdemeanors. But sad to say, there are men and women, like I was, didn't know John 3:16, and they certainly don't know John 3:18. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's clear and plain. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, the greatest sin in the whole world is a sin of unbelief. We think of people, murderers and rapists and thieves and vagabonds and so on. But the greatest sin in God's sight is a sin of unbelief. Because we've read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he gave the very best that he had. And we think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his lowly birth. For our sakes he became poor. His lowly birth, his perfect life, the wonderful things that he did. And above all, the fact that he went all the way to Calvary. What more could God have done for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I would suggest that the greatest sin in the world is the sin of unbelief. After all that God has done, and yet men and women refuse to believe the record of God's word. We call it the Holy Bible, sitting in front of here, my Bible, the Holy Bible. And you hear people saying today, this is the gospel truth. And so it is. This is the gospel truth, the good news of God's salvation. And yet, we live in a world, sometimes I think we live in a world of atheists. And men have no thought of God. God is not even in their thoughts. And so I suggest that the greatest sin in the whole world is a sin of unbelief. You know, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19, it speaks about the children of Israel who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. They could have went from the Red Sea to Kadesh Barnea in 11 days. And it took them 40 years. 40 years because of one sin. Unbelief. And that they couldn't enter the land because of unbelief. Until that generation passed away and a new generation arose, they were led by Moses into the promised land, crossed the Jordan into the promised land. But that whole generation were condemned because of that one word, unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. But you know, sad to say, it was even worse than that, because unbelief will keep men and women, boys and girls, out of heaven. Unbelief will not just keep us out of the promised land, as it were, but unbelief will keep men and women out of heaven. You know, we often mention John 3:16, but I thought of this last verse as well. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 8 and 1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And I'm sure most if not all of us, can rejoice in that this evening, that we are not condemned. Oh yes, the world is condemned because of unbelief, but we should rejoice tonight that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mostly you probably put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ long before I did. I was 26, but you probably, most of you maybe been brought up in Christian homes and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ long ago. But I'm glad, you know, that I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and when I was 26. I knew nothing of the gospel. Didn't even know that verse, John 3:16. But there was a day when I bowed the knee and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And you know, I passed from death to life and from condemnation to no condemnation. And so that I suggest that the greatest sin in God's sight is the sin of unbelief. When we consider what God has done for us, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Christ died for our sins. That's why he died. He died for our sins. You know, I picked out one or two examples of those who were in the Bible who were condemned. They were condemned. And the first one I thought of really was the dying thief. He was there and he admitted himself, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He was condemned. And he realized it. And he admitted it. And he admitted the justice of it. He says, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He says, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man has done nothing amiss. And I love what he says after that. He says, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There's a man admitting he deserved to die. He deserved to be there. But this man has done nothing amiss. And to think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, in a moment, in just a moment, he passed from death to life, from condemnation to no condemnation. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, that man's legs were broken. He died that day on the cross. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Condemned. And now he finished up not condemned. And he's in heaven tonight, not condemned. Another one I thought about was the prodigal son, away in the far country, wasting his substance with riotous living. How a picture that is of the world today, isn't it? In the far country, wasting his substance with riotous living, having a great time. But you know, he came to himself and he said, how many of the servants of my father's house have bread enough for to spare, and I perish with hunger. Another picture of the sinner, I perish with hunger. But we know the story, I'm sure all of us know the story. He went back to his father's house, received with open arms. What a picture of God the Father, isn't it? The father in the up and up flat roof in Israel, looking for his wayward son, perhaps saw the little figure away in the distance and ran to meet him. What a picture that is of God's love for the sinner. What a picture that is of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the prodigal came back and he says, this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And no wonder we read, they began to be merry. Oh, the prodigal son in the far country, he was condemned. He was condemned there in the far country, wasting his substance with riotous living. But he came to himself. And we desire that men and women today would be like our prodigal son, come to themselves, realize their state before God, and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse 18, just to think of that, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Another one I was thinking of in the New Testament was Zacchaeus. Little Zacchaeus, a hated tax collector. They're still not popular today. But a little tax collector, a despised little man. But there was one good thing about him. We read he sought to see Jesus. That was his ambition that day. It's great to have ambitions, isn't it? That he had this ambition. He sought to see Jesus. And we realise that this wee man, he had two things in his favour. He was healthy. He could do what I couldn't do. He could climb a sycamore tree. And he could run. And he ran and climbed the sycamore tree. And people would like to be healthy, fit and healthy. I would like to do without that stick. But he was healthy. And he was had vigour. And ran and climbed the sycamore tree. Not only that, he was rich. And he had all what all the world would like. Health and wealth. And yet, it says of him, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. So although he was healthy, although he was wealthy, he wasn't satisfied, was he? He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree. Only the man had initiative. He couldn't see above the crowd, but he ran ahead and knew Jesus would come that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus. That was a surprise to that man, wasn't it? Never seen the Lord Jesus Christ before. And he said, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And yet Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And we read, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, I thought of it here in Europe, it says he went on his way rejoicing. People think, you know, Christianity is something about black suits and listen, no black, but you know, black suits and white shirts and big long face and so on. But you know, when you read in the New Testament, Zacchaeus, it says he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And so men and women today have to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so little Zacchaeus, he made haste and came down and received him into his house. And we read, you know, evidence of this man's change of life. Condemned, yes, but not condemned, because what do we read? His life was changed. From instead of being what we call a money grabber, he was giving away his money. The half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. My, he wouldn't have much left after that, would he? Half of his money to the poor and restore fourfold those he had taken money from. And that this man's life was transformed. And so here's a wee man, I suggest, he was condemned. He was hated and as a tax collector, taken from the Jews to give to the Romans and keeping money for himself as well. And he was rich and he was healthy. And yet he realised the lack in his life. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And Jesus said this, today is salvation come to this house. I'm sure that's the same for all of us this evening. Today is salvation come to this house. Little Zacchaeus, I would suggest, born again, not condemned, and his life was changed. Even by the works that he did, you could see his life was changed. The Philippian jailer was another one, I thought. Condemned. He got about to kill himself. It took an earthquake to shake him. And he was going to kill himself. Condemned. And yet Paul and Silas said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he sprang in, called for a light and brought him out and said these wonderful words, isn't it? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what we would like to hear men and women say nowadays, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? And how simple the answer was, and yet so profound. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No dubiety. I had a Jehovah's Witness around the house just last week. And you know, I say to them, if I said to you, I'm saved, you would think that'd be presumptuous. And yet, I've mentioned it with the Philippian jailer to him. I said, you know, the next day, when Paul and Silas left, if somebody said to that jailer, could you say you're saved? I'm sure he could say he was saved, wouldn't he? And if he didn't say that, he was denying the very words of the Paul and Silas. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These words spoken so long ago and yet so relevant in the 21st century. I still get these things mixed up yet, just the 21st century. But you know, still the same today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Think of Saul of Tarsus. He breathing out threatening slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Here's a wee man. Well, I don't know if he's a wee man. Tradition has his wee man. But this man, Saul of Tarsus, he was breathing out slaughter and threatenings against the disciples of the Lord. And this man was met on the Damascus Road. His life was transformed from being a blasphemer. He says, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. That's what his testimony was to his wrote to Timothy. I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. But you know, there came the day when you could write in 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him that day. His life was transformed, and he was a man who was condemned already. And yet, that day on the Damascus Road, his life was transformed, and he was never the same again. And I'm sure all of us could say the same about our conversion. Whether we were young or older, we could say the same. Our life was never the same again. And Saul of Tarsus, that blasphemer and the persecutor of the believers, his life was transformed. And he was a man that could write these words, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so the question this evening is this. Fortunately, I don't come from here, so I could say this. But is this true of all of us here this evening? Have we been in a position where we were condemned already and we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour? No matter what age we were, we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much that verse should mean to all of us this evening. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What more could God do than he has done? Sent his well-beloved Son. So as I said at the very commencement of our meeting this evening, familiarity breeds contempt in the world, but concerning this verse, familiarity should never breed contempt. And for just in closing, think about verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You know, there's no grey areas. I see one thing or another. In fact, we just say another week there, if you went out in the street nowadays and preached, Jesus said, I am the way. We certainly would be condemned when you hear of all these different religions, even in our own country. But Jesus said, I am the way, and he's the only way. Neither is salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, I'd just like to say this evening, is this true of all of us? He that believeth is not condemned. And to think again just at that little verse 16, that wonderful verse, that the world knows nothing about. It's sad to say, even nowadays children are so ignorant of God's word. How few children today know John 3:16. Not very many, I'm afraid. Sunday school is becoming a thing of the past, and the children are being neglected of God's way of salvation. But we, sure, we all rejoice this evening that we're saved, and we can say we're saved. Unlike the man at the door who denied the fact you could say you're saved. But we're saved, and we're not condemned. And I chose a hymn here just to close with, because normally I'm quite a short-winded speaker, as we'd call it. So I don't look at the clock. I just like to speak, and when I'm finished, I'm finished. And Sometimes I finish very early, and it gets a bit embarrassing occasionally, but I did not clock it. Well, there is a clock there, I just noticed it. But anyway, could we sing together 114? God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Could we remain seated and sing the whole hymn 114? Summarizes John 3:16, God loved the world of sinners lost. Can we close with a word of prayer together? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for reminding us from thy word this evening that thou didst so love the world that thou gave thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee this evening that thou did commend thy love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we thank thee for thy word this evening. We thank thee for staying together and ask a parting blessing in our Lord Jesus Christ's worthy name. Amen.